Well, Dr. Wilkinson, you started your professional career in astrophysics and then kind of pivoted over into ministry and theology. Yeah. Was there a realization or a discovery of some kind that moved you in that direction to make that pivot?
Not really, Ryan. I became a Christian at the age of 17. That was just before starting physics. I'd not really been interested massively in science by that stage. I'd known a little bit of, I was decent at mathematics. And therefore, I knew that physics wouldn't take an awful lot of work at university. It wouldn't be like writing essays, all of the rest of it. But what I found was that as my faith in Jesus grew, so my appreciation for creation grew as well. And the great astronomer Kepler once said that science is thinking God's thoughts after him. And that was a little bit of the experience of doing physics. I then did a PhD in theoretical astrophysics. And that was in part because as my old supervisor, Sir Arnold Wolfendale, the astronomer royal, once said, the theological questions are often clearer in some of these big astrophysics questions than in other areas of science. And so my interest was in stars and galaxies and the evolution of the universe itself. During all of that time, I just felt a growing sense of vocation and call, not away from science, but to Christian leadership. And I didn't get to a stage where I became worried about science or fell out with science, just a sense that probably my gifts were better used in Christian leadership rather than in professional science. And one of the things that that has happened for me is that as I've given time to local church leadership, which I did in Liverpool for a decade, and then teaching theology, I found that many of the science questions have come back and have been important not just to folk in the church, but to folk outside the church. And our fascination with some of these big questions about the origin or the end of the universe, how God works in the universe, what's the significance of human beings, are we alone? These are the type of questions that I find of interest to those who think about the world from a Christian point of view, but also some of my friends who are scientists who wouldn't ascribe to any faith community themselves, but are fascinated by them. And of course, for members of the general public, because I'm a great science fiction nerd as well. And science fiction explores some of these big questions in stories about space. And I guess we're at that point where a number of these influences, the kind of massive popularity of science fiction, some of the really interesting science at the moment about exoplanets, discovery of planets outside the solar system, which the James Webb Telescope is going to be exploring in particular. And some of the theological questions now, which used to be a bit marginal 10 or 12, 20 or 30 years ago, actually are center stage because as we drill under the permafrost in Mars, do we find something? Does the James Webb Telescope find an atmosphere that could support life? Might we even receive a message from outer space? Or is my friend Abby Loeb at Harvard right that a little while ago, an object came through the solar system, which actually wasn't naturally made, but was engineered. Now, those are really interesting questions alongside those who will say, I've seen UFOs and as you rightly said, the American government is taking that seriously at the moment.
Yeah. Well, let's say that the search for extraterrestrial life or extraterrestrial intelligence turns up something. Yeah. What kind of implication might that have for our overall Christian theology?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And you prefaced it very importantly by drawing a distinction between extraterrestrial life and extraterrestrial intelligence. Now, the non-human life, we already know a great deal about. We're surrounded by it. Mm-hmm. And for Christian theologians, that's part of God's extravagance in creation, the diversity of the natural world with so many different life forms isn't just about producing human beings. It's about a God who delights in extravagance. and a God who creates 100 billion stars in each of 100 billion galaxies. It wouldn't surprise me that as a reflection of some of that extravagance, there's then lots of different types of life around, just as we see in the natural world. But the questions for Christian theology, particularly, I think, are posed, at least for some Christians, in terms of the discovery of intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. And I think there are two main areas of that. The first is, does that somehow undermine the status or uniqueness of human beings? Now, some folks say that the Christian faith says that we are special because we are unique. It's a specialness based on exclusivity. It seems to me that that we don't have to be the center of the universe or the only ones in the universe to be important or special. Nicholas of Cusa, a 15th century Christian theologian, made a very important theological move when he said that human beings are special not because of their place in the universe, but because of the gift of relationship. That because God has gifted intimacy of relationship with human beings, with himself, and we've seen that in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, that doesn't mean that it has to be the only type of relationship that God has. And so human beings are special because of relationship. My wife is one of four children. She has a special and unique relationship with her parents, but that doesn't mean that there's no relationship of the other three siblings. So you can have specialness without being the center of the universe or being alone. Now, I think that's one area. The second area is really about the significance of the Jesus event. Because Christians say that, particularly in the death of Jesus and his resurrection, there is something fundamental about God's reconciliation, forgiveness, redemptive work in the universe. And the question then is, if there are other intelligent forms of life, what's the relationship of the Jesus event to other forms? And Christians have actually gone different ways on this. Some Christians have said the Jesus event is once for all for the whole universe. And therefore, we're called to be cosmic missionaries, taking the message out. Well, that's a very long missionary journey, if you think about it, billions of light years. So other Christians have said, no, the God that we see in Jesus is a God who becomes incarnate in flesh. And maybe if there are little green women and little green men out there, God would become incarnate in little green flesh. And there's been some popular Christian spirituality about that from Larry Norman, part of the early Jesus music scene, through to a hymn writer called Sidney Carter, talking about other incarnations in other star systems. I think the difficulty of that particular view is this sense of multiple incarnations for some Christians. Would God really become incarnate in different worlds? And it's something that's actually, I think, quite difficult for Christians really to come to a clear answer to. Because Christians believe that in the case of human beings, the incarnation of God is about two things. The first is God becomes a human being in order to demonstrate his love to us, show what God is like, but also in order to achieve a mechanism for the forgiveness of sins, of a new start. Now, C.S. Lewis, great polymath and British science fiction writer, in some of his science fiction, posed the question, well, if there were intelligent life, would they have sinned in the same way as human beings? Would they need to be redeemed in the same way? And that's, you know, that's an interesting question, which we don't know the answer to. And partly, that's why we need to wait and look and see and see what the situation is if and when we do meet any other life in the universe. John Polkinghorne, a British writer on science and theology, once said, when asked this question, would God become incarnate in other flesh, said, the God that I see in Jesus would do what is necessary. And I'm pretty happy with that. So I'm quite relaxed about thinking about it. I think there probably is a middle way, which is to say, perhaps the Jesus event is once for all, but through the nature of the grace of God transcending space and time, its offer is to all people in all spaces and all times. Now, the reason that I say that is that we know from Scripture itself that Abraham is made right with God through grace. In a sense, the same mechanism that offers forgiveness to Abraham is the same mechanism that offers it to me, the grace of God in Jesus. It's just that Abraham came before Jesus. I came after Jesus. It's not inconceivable to begin to think that a similar type of thing may be spanning the vast distances of space, that people are saved through trust in the grace of the Creator, rather than by having a their own incarnation. But I guess in many ways, I don't know until we actually encounter the possibility of other life.
So for you, is it theologically, is the search for extraterrestrial intelligence theologically important for you? Or
yeah, thank you, Ryan. Yes, good question. And it's very important for a number of reasons. I think the first is that I see science as a gift from God and curiosity as a gift from God. It's interesting that one of the rovers on the surface of Mars is called Curiosity, coming from a young American schoolgirl's essay, which suggested the name. And I want to strongly affirm science and our ability to ask questions of the universe as part of being made in the image of God, that this is a gift from God that we are to use. Now, I know there's questions in all big science about how much money we use compared to other needs in the world. That's a fair question. But there's something about being human, which is about exploring and curiosity. So I think that's the first reason. I think the second reason is that just as we've found out in our own situation on the earth, there are ethical questions to think through. We have a responsibility to be careful about how we use the physical universe. And so, for example, if there are microbes on the surface of Mars, we have a responsibility to think through theologically how we responsibly steward in a Jesus servant way that environment in exactly the same way that we should be opposing human-made climate change. There's ethical questions here about the exploitation of space, which is really important. I think the third reason is that there are a number of people who fear the encounter with other life. Some talk about if the discovery was made, there would be a culture shock, that religion would go out of business, or indeed religion would transform into some kind of alien cult. I don't think that's the case. And Ted Peters, who's written extensively in this area, has done some surveys to say that most religious people are fairly relaxed about it. But I think theologians would have a reconciling role within the community to say, let's see this as an opportunity to learn more about ourselves, to learn more about God. And one of the things that I think is the central message of the Bible and has been often something within my own Christian life is what a theologian a number of years ago called J.B. Phillips gave us the title of a book, Your God is Too Small. And so part of astrophysics in general and part of this exploration in terms of life elsewhere in the universe, I think for me is always that I find out more about the riches, extravagance, diversity, and surprising nature of God, which is not, well, it can be disturbing, but ultimately is exciting. So I think for those reasons, and then there's a kind of the professional theologian which comes in at the end, which says, there is something actually in this exploration, which is a bit of a theological sandpit or a playpen, where at the moment we can explore questions of sin and redemption, incarnation and revelation. And we can do so by posing questions about aliens in a playful way, which is actually really helpful. Now, it's interesting that in the 20th century, a number of Roman Catholic writers in the early part of the 20th century wrote stories about aliens, science fiction. And I have a feeling that part of that was pre-Vatican II. They were exploring through story the possibility of salvation outside the church without having to use the Protestant word. So by talking about aliens, you could explore theological concepts. I think some of these questions about incarnation, sin, redemption, revelation, are really important in terms of how we relate to other faith communities. And so there's a resonance here between some of the theological concepts that we can explore and push to an extreme within thinking about aliens that do have relevance for our everyday lives. And, you know, if you're a great fan of Star Trek, you'll know that Gene Roddenberry in the original series used science fiction to pose questions and tell stories about 1960s American culture, about racism, about sexism, about a whole number of things. But he did so within the playfulness of Star Trek, which allowed him to ask these questions and sometimes push them to extremes in order just to test them out. And I think that's a great gift that not just the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, but also science fiction gives us.